This special feature is brought to you by ASP Isotopes. Well, 2 weeks ago, Paul Mann and I had a conversation where he did warn me off air that there was something more exciting happening soon. And my goodness, a double whammy. You've managed to land that deal you were talking to us about with Terra Power. Well, it's now formalized. It was a term sheet. Now it's a go ahead. And then the Johannesburg Stock Exchange listed Renergen, which is, it's had an up and down record from 40 rand a share down to, about 1/8 of that. You are going to make an all share offer for it. Let's start with the biggest story for South Africa as a whole, which is the Terra Power deal and going ahead with your proposed uranium enrichment facility at Pelindaba. Last time we spoke, Paul, you said this is a big deal.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, listen, the world needs more high, say, low enriched uranium. The world needs more enriched uranium, full stop, just to meet the demand for nuclear power. There is no other country in the world that can supply this fuel to the world in the time it needs it. South Africa has a plug-and-play location ready to go called Pelindaba. It would take us 10 years to replicate that in the United States. So, I mean, we're really excited to have the funding from Terra Power to do this. And I've always said that this, for our company, this will be a low return on capital project, which is why we're not paying for it. We made the customer pay for it. And that's exactly what we've done. We made the customer pay for it. Yeah, they want nuclear fuel, they're going to pay for it. And so they're writing a check and we will build the plant for them.
Just for those who have not been as close to the action as you have, the fuel that you're talking about is critical in the new wave of small modular reactors. In other words, not these huge, big nuclear power stations, but the smaller ones that are now coming into vogue very rapidly. Just unpack for us how the fuel is different and why it is that Terra Power came to you.
Yeah, so traditional nuclear reactors, yesterday's nuclear reactors used uranium enriched about 3.5 to 5%. That's called low enriched uranium. These new reactors need uranium enriched to 19.75%. It's called high assay low enriched uralium. And you can't produce HALU or high assay low enriched uranium in a facility that only produces LEU, low enriched uranium. So they need a new type of fuel. It's got a higher energy density, and there's no supplier of it. So why did Terra Power likely come to us? I think for a couple of reasons. First of all, having a location in South Africa with most of the permits in place already, we can accelerate the process by probably 10 years versus building a plant in the United States. And secondly, we saw some pretty interesting novel technologies we think will lower the cost of enriching uranium greatly. And, to solve the climate crisis, it's not about getting more nuclear fuel into the United States. It's about getting more nuclear fuel and nuclear energy into the emerging markets. And, when you think about some of the Asian and Northern African countries, people there struggle to afford 7 meals a week. They're not going to pay a premium for clean energy. And we have to find a solution for them that prices nuclear power at a discount to hydrocarbon-based energy. And we believe our technology will allow us to do that. So there's a couple of reasons. First of all, speed to market. We can do it quicker here. And then efficiency and cheapness. We can do it cheaper here. And that's why I think, they've come to us in South Africa. And this is going to be a fantastic project for South Africa. We're going to mobilize an entire domestic supply chain. We're going to employ thousands of people, create billions of dollars for the economy. It's going to be great.
Wow, those are big numbers. And I wanted to go back to that after we spoke last time. You were talking about thousands of people being employed. How big a commitment is this from Terra Power?
We haven't published the numbers, but it's sufficient. The capital they're putting in is sufficient for us to raise additional capital from local debt providers to build the plant. So it'll be, the total capital spend will be hundreds of millions of dollars. And, it'll be in this US dollars. And, it'll be a big project, I mean, we have interest for $37 billion of HALU between now and 2037 from multiple customers. And we can't supply all that. That's far too much for us to supply, but we'll do our best to supply as much as we can.
When do you pull the trigger on actually starting to build?
Well, we already have done. We started 6 months ago, and going through permitting and that kind of stuff. I mean, the first 6 to 12 months about getting permits and license and plant design and that kind of stuff done. You ASP may stand for aerodynamic separation process, also stands for as soon as possible. We've got a pretty good track record of building plants quickly, cheaply, efficiently, and on budget, and that's what we'll do here.
And when will this HALEU plant be ready to produce its first enriched uranium?
Listen, the goal is 2027. That's a hell of a stretch objective. We'll do it as fast as we can. The most, you know, the time-determining factor here really is on building, getting permits and licenses, not us building the plant. We can build the plant in 6 months. We just need to get the permits and licenses, and that will take the time. So, you know, God willing, 2027 is the goal. But, you know, we'll update the market as and when we, as we progress.
And Paul, you said nobody else can provide this kind of product at the moment. Are there plants being built to do that?
You know, so actually Russia can provide this fuel, but that may well involve down blending weapons grade uranium, and I think that's no longer an option. So they just said we're not going to supply HALEU anymore. And, you know, Urenco have said they will try and build a HALEU facility to come online in the 2030s. You know, the world needs this fuel this decade, not next decade. And that's why we're in South Africa trying to build this plant quickly, because we can be much quicker here.
If you're the only supplier of this product, presumably your pricing power is significant.
Yeah, the customer will pay for it. Yes, that's right.
So Terra Power, though, have tied up 10 years of production, if I understand correctly from reading your information. So have you agreed a price with them already, or might this
There's kind of a pricing formula in place. So yeah, we'll make a very good return on this project. Yeah, again, I work for our shareholders. I'm also the largest shareholder of our company. I make sure our shareholders get a very good return on this project.
And it's nothing else stopping it apart from government regulation or permits, etc.
Not even government. It's more permitting. So it's environmental permits. It's the National Nuclear Regulator making sure the plant is safe. It's the Department of Energy and Energy. You know, it's those regulators. And we've got a great relationship with all of them. And they recognize this is a focus project for the country. And they recognize it's important for the world. And they're giving our project the best attention they can. So I'm very confident we'll do it. Yeah. One thing I've been really impressed with in South Africa is how efficient the local regulators are and licenses are about getting permits for plants. I mean, we were told by the DOE, no country will ever let us build the ytterbium plant using lasers. It took the precisely 2 weeks to issue us a permit. They said if it's going in your controlled area under comprehensive safeguard agreement with the IAEA, it's fine to build that plant. So we've been really impressed with the perception we've received down here. That's why we're here.
And presumably it will breathe a lot of new life into Pelindaba itself.
Yeah, I think at its peak, Pelindaba employed something like over 10,000 people. Now it's about 1,600 people. Yeah, it'll bring thousands, you know, hundreds of people back to the site to work, and it will bring significant revenues and earning power to that part of the country. Exactly.
On to the second point, which is Renergen. Now, it's got a spotty record, Paul, and there would be people on the sideline saying, "Oi, you might have bitten off something here that you're not going to enjoy the taste of."
I think we've got a pretty good track record of taking challenged assets and turning them into profitable businesses, and we look forward to doing that in this case as well. Yeah, they've got a great asset there in Velkom, fantastic asset, and we know how to take distressed assets and turn them into very good businesses, and that's what we're going to do here. And again, we're going to bring huge amounts to the local economy. We're going to employ lots of people, and we're going to create a lot of money for both the local region and our shareholders in doing it.
Well, I guess it's appropriate to mention that you did buy ASP out of business rescue.
Yes, right. I mean, that asset cost us $750,000, and we've invested about $40 million into it since then. But the company's now market cap of $500 million, and we're producing our first isotopes, all 3 plants up and running. You know, so again, we've got a good track record of taking a distressed asset and turning it into a good business.
Remind us how you came across it.
So I spent my career investing in companies. I was a portfolio manager at a hedge fund for years, and you know, some of my best shorts were companies that needed isotopes because they couldn't get them, and so they missed numbers quite frequently. And our chief operating officer, Robbie, used to be a debt restructuring person in London. And he discovered the assets and showed it to me and said, Paul, what are your thoughts on this? And I immediately thought, wow, it could solve a lot of the world's problems. Let's see if we can wrest this out from the liquidator. And we did. It's been hard work the last 3 years, but kind of finally feel like it's light at the end of the tunnel. And again, Robbie and I spend a lot of time in South Africa, you know, focused on execution, focused on making sure our projects stay on track, on time, on budget. That's how we do it. You know, Robbie's 6'5" and weighs 250 pounds. He brings the ballet moves of a second row into the boardroom, and you know, he gets projects done on time, on budget, and that's what we do.
And the team that is working there presumably are able to focus on what they're good at, which is doing the science, rather than worrying about raising the money, etc.
Exactly, yeah. We've got an incredible team in South Africa. We now employ 153 people. We did as of 2 weeks ago. It's probably gone up since then. And about 20% of our employees have got PhDs. Half have got advanced degrees. We've got a whole engineering department that just build plants and build components of plants. And they know how to build plants quickly and on time. And that's all they focus on. We focus on running the business. They focus on building the plants. And, you know, that we'll do the same thing with Energen. When you think, you know, when you look at their position, if they want to order a component for their plant, it may take them 6 months to get that component from the United States or from Europe or from Asia, wherever it's coming from. We can fabricate that component probably in a week and a half, 2 weeks. And so that's how we can really cut down supply chains, procurement chains, that kind of stuff.
Fabricate it from your existing facility that you have in South Africa.
Yeah, we have a fabrication facility that fabricates most of the plants. So our Silicon 28 plant has about 50,000 components in it. About 40,000 of those components were manufactured or fabricated in our workshop by our fabrication team. And so that allows us to build plants much quicker than having to send those components out from an external manufacturer, a third party, or an overseas manufacturer to manufacture for us. But one of the things I think TerraPower are most impressed by when they came to visit us is just the quality of our employees and how many we've got and our capabilities to design and build complex plants very quickly.
Back to Renogen, it's well known that they've got a fabulous helium resource deposit, and it's also well known that they have not managed to get their plant to deliver on time, even though there could be a lot of demand for that helium. What is the particular appeal for you as within your company, given that you've got this huge project that you've spoken with us about now about enriching uranium? Does helium come into the play there in any way?
Yeah, it does. So listen, we've got two sides to our business, the nuclear fuel side of the business and the non-nuclear fuel side of the business. And the non-nuclear fuel side of the business, you know, our biggest opportunity is probably in semiconductors, electronics, I guess something in nuclear medicine. Helium's an essential material used in those industries. And so, you know, at some point we'd have had to have built ourselves a sales force, a cell of isotopes into those industries. And, you know, Renogen has the same. So it's a real close fit between the products they're selling and the products we're selling. And so it's from that standpoint, it's great. And, you know, it's a really unique opportunity. Also, we use a lot of energy in some of our processes, and there's exceptionally cheap energy coming out of the ground at Velkom. You know, 35 cents per MMBTU wellhead cost is very, very low cost of gas, you know. And so that will help a lot as well.
Just explain or put that in context for us, please, the 35 cents.
Well, listen, I think the only gas cheaper in the world is probably Qatar. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's a very, very cheap gas. But you know, more important than the gas is the helium. I mean, helium's a critical material. Isotopes are referred to as critical materials by almost every government on Earth. And having them together gives us a critical materials company that will have real scale, have real muscle to it. And we can compete against the biggest companies in the world because we've got a very differentiated offering to anyone else in the world.
And the deposit, the helium deposit that's in Virginia, in the Free State. Tell us a bit about that. Renogen have been talking a lot about it.
Yeah, it's totally unique. It's the only one like it on planet Earth. They have two meteorites hit the same location, a billion years apart. The second one hit 2 billion years ago, is totally unique. And there's no other deposit like it in the world. When in the United States, you drill for natural gas and helium comes out as a byproduct with it. Here we're drilling for helium and gas comes out as a byproduct. You know, there's 4% helium in this reserve, which is huge. In the United States, it's like 0.4%. So you've got 10 times as much helium here as you have in the world. That makes it the lowest cost supply of helium on planet Earth by probably a log order, which is fantastic.
When will the potential of this deposit be unlocked now with ASP Isotopes running the show? Yeah,
I think you'll see it happening next year in 2026. This plant will become profitable next year and we'll start making money from it. You know, we don't like sinking money into slow projects. We get on and move fast and we will get this plant going next year.
And what about Stefano Marano, the cheerleader for Renergen for the last few years? What is he staying with you?
He is, yes. He's going to become a CEO of our space and electronics division, newly formed. And he's based in Austin, Texas. And so that's a perfect location to be having relationships with the electronics companies. They're all based in that area. And so I'm sure he'll do a great job at selling our products into those markets and running that business.
That's an interesting division. Have you created it specifically for him, or how long has it been around?
We sell a lot of products into the space and semiconductor industry, so we're always going to do it anyway, and he's the guy to run it, so he's coming in to run that.
Paul, it's an incredible story, and one that, as you say, you've been beavering away in the background. You're very well qualified academically, having gone to one of the best universities in the world. Where is it going to go to? What's your dream here for your company into the future?
We've got a lot of other stuff in the hopper as well we haven't talked about. But, you know, the goal here is to become a major player in the critical materials company. So it's isotopes and other materials that are critical. And you know, helium is one of those. And, you know, I think the world needs more of them. I think you've had this African delegation today in Washington, D.C., meeting with the United States government to talk about things like critical materials and what South Africa can bring to the United States. And, you know, we're keen to pay a part in that. But, you know, obviously we're a public company. My responsibility is to drive returns to shareholders and make shareholders money. And that's what I'm, you know, as well as solving the world's critical material problems, it's, you know, about driving the share price higher, driving profits for our company.
You mentioned shareholders. You are planning to list on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. How's that progressing?
Yeah, it's a pretty straightforward process. We actually knew about this transaction before we were going to list anyway, but the timing of the listing is somewhat related to this transaction. And, you know, listen, I think South Africa, there's been a lot of delistings taking place in South Africa over the last several years. I think South African population need a technology company or a company which does what we do, selling into international markets, listed that. So we're looking forward to listing. And I say, we've spoken to many South African investors, all of whom are pretty excited about what we do. But some of them have struggled to invest in our company because we're listed on NASDAQ. So that's the goal.
It's an interesting investment from another aspect as well. South Africa has battled to have beneficiation of its treasure chest of resources. And it seems to me, although you're very focused and very specific in areas, that you're going to be doing that too, where you'll take natural resources in this country and beneficiate them and sell them into the global market.
Yeah, listen, if it's a critical material the world needs in electronics, semiconductors, healthcare, medical, those kind of industries, we're interested in being involved in them. We start, yeah, isotopes is the obvious one. That's where most of our expertise is. You know, we have an incredible team of engineers who know how to build plants. Quite frankly, a liquefaction plant is a pretty simple plant. It's a big fridge. And I think if our engineers had been in charge of running it, then this plant would have been built 2 years ago, is my guess. But again, we've got a different supply chain, different procurement chain. That's just how we do business.
That's the Renergen plant. So it's not really complicated as far as your guys are concerned.
We built a cryogenic distillation column in about 2 months. I mean, our guys know how to build stuff and build stuff quickly. And when something goes wrong, they know how to solve the problem. And things do go wrong always in building plants. They know how to solve the problem quickly as well. And that's why I've signed deals with people like TerraPower, semiconductor companies in the United States, global industrial gas companies, because they've been to our plants, they've seen what we do, and they think, wow, this is very unique. There's no one else that can do this.
And as far as the South African government is concerned, have you had much support?
Oh, huge amount of support. Yeah. I mean, we would not be here today without South African government and South African population. You know, they, you know, they, they've, they, 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 the government departments have given us the permits we need, the environmental permits, the safety permits to build these plants. Obviously, we've got to prove they're safe and prove they're environmentally friendly, but they've expeditiously given us those permits. Minister Ramakopa, who's in charge of energy and electricity, is fantastic. I mean, he's done an amazing job turning around the energy problem in South Africa. We've had nothing but good support from the government and government people. It's been great. And that's another reason why we're listing in JSC. South African population need the right to invest in our company because they've been so helpful to us.
And when might that be completed?
The goal is to list in early August and then complete the transaction in mid-August. The shareholder vote will be late June, early July. And I think we'll get shareholder support from Energen shareholders for the deal. I mean, the outlook otherwise is probably business rescue from Energen, which is not great for shareholders. So I think we'll get the support we need. And I say, we'll come in and we'll get these plants up and running.
Well, good to be talking with you this morning. You are, like so many other people, interested in the South African story in the US at the moment. Let's hope that we get some good news coming out later today, or at least that it isn't, what some of the critics fear, the worst possible consequence
of that. I'm sure it'll go very well. I'm sure it'll go very well.
Paul Mann is the Chief Executive of ASP Isotopes. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.